Peace, this is Aton Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. Plenty to talk about, as always. The phone number, open lines. Today, if you choose to call, the number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893, whatever you may want to talk about. There are those who may want to talk about the whole Israel-Iran situation, or whatever the case may be, feel free. We've got the U.S. has no shortage of war fronts right now. You got Ukraine, you've got the whole Israel genocide thing going on. Certainly the United States is putting troops in Taiwan and on the border of China. Yes, sirree, the Biden administration is doing their best to start World War III, and let's just hope they're not successful. So let's start off with, until we get some calls, we're going to start off in talking about the Iran situation. What happened here? Well, this is my interpretation of it, so feel free to call and talk about any of this stuff. Israel launched various attacks on Iran, right? They attacked them, attacked their interest all over the place, and Iran has not responded militarily. And finally, Israel did something that violated international law and international protocol. They bombed the Iranian consulate, the Iranian embassy in Damascus, killed a number of people, and Iran said, okay, that's it. We're going to strike back. All right. Interestingly enough, they attacked Israel, which, I'll put it like this, they let them know they were going to attack them. They sent drones, 6 hours ahead of time, so Israel had plenty of time to prepare. Israel didn't really prepare. It was the United States who completely did the preparation, did the defense, etc. And nevertheless, Iran sent in a lot of their old drones, older missiles, and they struck a number of Israeli positions, which made it clear. One thing was very, very clear, and that was that U.S. And Israeli air defense is very inadequate. Now, of course, the U.S. did the old, Israel did the, we shot down 99%. 99% of the incoming items, but if you go online, they didn't shoot down. But that's the way the game plays. You always claim you shot down. If they fire 100 missiles, you claim you shot down 101. I think most people understand that there's going to be a significant amount of propaganda from all sides when something happens. But the bottom line was, Iran was able to, using not even its best weapons, was able to strike Israel fairly prominently and show that, hey, if they really wanted to knock the daylights out of them, they could. Israel then said, we're going to strike back. And Iran said, if you do, that was just a rush back. The next time will be 10 times harder. What else happened after that? Well, Israel kind of implied they could use nuclear weapons. They said, well, we may use everything we have. And Iran then said, in consideration of everything that's going on and the threats that we are getting from Israel, we may reconsider our stance on not having nuclear weapons. Iran actually has a religious fatwa, a religious edict that has been written that says it's against their Islamic principles to have a nuclear weapon. But they said, in light of threats from Israel, we may reconsider it. Certainly, Iran is a high-tech country. I actually consulted with someone who is an expert in the field who worked in that particular field. And they told me if Iran wanted a nuclear weapon, they could probably have one within 2 weeks, a crude one that would be quite efficient and effective within a couple of weeks if they chose to do that. So that was quite interesting. Oh, do we have a call? We got a call yet? No calls. Okay. 202-588-0893. Israel then said, we're going to strike back. Well, apparently the U.S. said, and a lot of allies said, we don't like it. Last night, here's what's interesting. I've done a lot of research online. It appears to me that there was a few drones fired and that they were shot down. just a few drones fired, that the drones were shot down. Israel then, and you know, the media then said, Israel struck back. It appears that there were a few drones that were shot down. And Iran said, it was really nothing. We're not going to bother to respond to that. So that's where we are now. Before we go any further, I do have calls. And when I get calls, I'm going to take them. We're open line tonight, 202-588-0893. Here's what I need to tell my callers. Listen, please, very, very carefully. We have a delay. Do not set the phone down and listen to the computer or the radio waiting for me to call on you, because we have a 10-second delay. And when I say, are you there, caller, you won't hear it. If you have the phone in your ear, you'll hear it. If you don't, you won't hear it for 10 seconds. And I'll say, caller, are you there? Are you there? And you won't be there. I'll go to the next caller. And 10 seconds later, you'll hear that. And you'll pick the phone up, and it'll be too late. If you're on hold, keep the phone to your ear. Also, no speakerphone. Sounds terrible on the radio. Keep your mouth very close to the receiver. 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, Mike from the district.
Talk to me, Mike.
I got a question to ask. How come you still have not taken advantage of your platform to invite any of the presidential candidates to come on your show to address the issues you're talking about?
I don't know. It beats me. I don't really have a reason. I just come on and talk every week. You've mentioned it. I don't have a reason for doing it or not doing it. I just kind of come on every week and run my yap. In fact, I haven't had a guest in a while, come to think of it.
Well, I think you need to do that because, again, this is an election season. If anything is going to get done, people need to ask these elected officials direct. And that's the one thing I will give C-SPAN credit for. They're doing it. You know, anytime when those presidential candidates come on the show, they'll bring them on, and then the people get to talk to them, which I think that's the proper thing to do. Because we can sit down here and complain about the issues all you want. Because people, you know, have the opportunity, by not addressing this directly to the elected officials, that can decide on the direction on how you're going to vote. Because neither one of these parties really give a damn about you. I'm really into this third-party rise of movement that I see right now, because every last one of these elected officials, the only thing they give a damn about is the donor class, is the lobbying groups. That's all they care about.
Yeah. Mike, let me say this real quick. I have a lot of things that I agree with you on there. I do believe that people need to start considering alternate parties, starting new parties, voting third parties, going in another direction. Because one thing is clear, and that is the current two-party system works very well if you're rich. A lot of people say it doesn't work. I say, if you think it don't work, then you don't understand what it is they're trying to accomplish. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with you one bit, but this is the reason why the importance of this third party revolution that's coming up right now, because the only reason why they don't care, there is no competition. And once they have competition, then they will start giving it down, but that's going to be up to the registered voter. Instead of keep playing this Democrat versus Republican, Democrat versus Republican, as long as the registered voter keep playing that stupid game, they're not going to ever do anything for you. Then again, you got to look at, why should they? They know people are going to vote for either one of these hypocrite parties. So why not keep playing this stupid game until there is a change in the way how people operate? Then, you know, that's going to be, it's just going to keep continuing to be that way.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, because see what people don't get, and I think you get it. It's not a matter that one of these people is going to save you. One of these parties is going to save you. One of these people is going to hurt you. One of these is better for you. There's a systemic problem. This is the problem of the system. And if you think Biden or Trump or one of them, I ain't going to say one could be better than the other, worse than the other. But the system itself is in crisis. And these two parties they represent the ruling class. They don't represent us. And since they represent the ruling class against our interests, there's no way that you're going to get one of them to do anything but represent the interest of those who are, putting the money in their pockets.
Well, it seems like the ones that's putting the money in the pockets right now is the industrial war machine.
Yes.
Because we're talking about a potential World War III breaking out right now under whose watch? Biden's watch. And the thing that I think about with our people in particular, our people fought in World War I, we fought in World War II, and we're still not thankful for our services. They don't want to give us reparations. They don't want to give us nothing. But then again, I'm getting tired of our people keep begging for reparations anyway, because
there ain't no chance of that. To me, the idea that you can look at the United States government and think that there's any, they're committing a genocide right now. They're literally committing a genocide. The idea that these people would give reparations. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not downing the people that are asking for reparations. I'm not saying that they don't have a legitimate legal issue. Anybody who went to court and listened to the legal case for reparations from the perspective of the law would have to say your case is solid. You should get reparations by law, of course. But when you look at this mess we got, these people, they're committing a genocide. It ain't happening.
Well, let me put it to you this way.
And let me ask you to wind it up. I got a couple other calls I want to get to. You get the last word, brother.
Let me ask you this. When our ancestors understood that we're never going to get reparations, Black Wall Street was built when our people started turning with each other. Okay, if they don't want to give us reparations, if they don't want us to come to their places, then we're going to form our own little businesses. And it was working. We started having real Black communities. But the moment that we start turning against each other and start keep begging white people to treat us like human beings, which never going to happen.
That's all right. I got to jump, brother. Thank you very much for calling. All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Robert Moses. I'm calling from Friendly, Maryland.
Oh, Friendly. You know what? That's my kind of town. You're out there in Howard County. What's happening, brother?
No, this is Prince George's County. This is near Fort Washington.
Oh, okay. Gotcha, guys. Oh, I was thinking of Friendship. You're right. Friendly. Okay, go ahead. Yes, what can I do for you?
Anyway, I'm a Marxist-Leninist, but I like to get on my bully pulpit. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Therefore, he was opposed to the resurrection of Israel, the government of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. And so, Zionism and Christianity is really an oxymoron. If people really knew the Bible, I guess that's why the eunuch, when he was reading the Bible and Philip came up to him and asked him, do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I know except somebody tell me? But
let me throw something at you. The Israel of today has nothing to do with religion. In fact, most of the people who started to Israel of today were atheists. The Israel today, Zionism, they use religion as part of the excuse for their existence.
Exactly.
This is a political entity. This has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. And here's some evidence. They're committing a genocide right now. Are we to believe that God wants them to slaughter and commit a genocide? This is not a religious issue. This is a political issue, and it's sad that a lot of people don't understand that.
I agree. It's a genocide. There's no question about that.
But the other part of it is this. Look. Is it Israel that's committing the genocide, really? Or is it the United States? If we're providing them with the weapons, right? If their economy is in a tank and we're giving them the money, if we're citing everything in, if we're going to the United Nations protecting them so the United Nations can't stop them, at some point you have to say, it ain't Israel that's doing it. It's the U.S. That Israel is a tool through which the U.S. is working to do a genocide. What do you think about that?
I agree with that 100%. This is, ever since the Balfour Agreement, it's just been white power.
Yeah, and it's and let me add this about Israel. I would ask people this: in Europe, they have a talent show kind of thing every year, and they call it the Eurovision, right? And it's all of the European countries have somebody in the Eurovision, and they do these talent stuff, and in somebody wins the Eurovision, right? And Israel has a contestant in the Eurovision. But Israel's not in Europe. What would Israel be doing in the Eurovision? Lebanon's not in the Saudi Arabia. None of the countries around Israel are in the Eurovision contest. But Israel. Because Israel is a U.S. and European colony in the Middle East. It is not religious. It is a political and a military colony in the Middle East, and they use religion to disguise it so they can get away with that, because really it's there so they can control and steal the oil. Your thoughts?
It's about finance capital.
Yep.
Open tyranny of finance capital.
Yes, it is, my friend. It's imperialism. Hey, look, as a Marxist-Leninist, you're very familiar with the term imperialism, I know.
Oh, yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate you for calling. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from PG, Iraita, from PG County, Maryland.
Very great to hear from you. What's happening?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Hey, hey, do I hear my voice in the background? Okay.
Okay, can you,
yeah,
can
okay,
you
hear
me now?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. You have an excellent show, and I'm fortunate to be one of those earliest to speak. Do you have time if we can talk a little bit about Semitism?
Sure. You got a couple minutes. Go ahead. Whatever you got to say. Okay. The floor is yours, my brother.
Frantz Fanon, the world genius, said that if you make any statement at all, the burden of proof is on you. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is my statement. Netanyahu and these Europeans who are settlers in Israel are the most anti-Semitic people that have come across.
Who's that? What'd you say?
Netanyahu.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the whole of these European settlers in Israel are the most anti-Semitic people that I have come across in my studies.
Well, you know, most people hear this anti-Semitic term and they don't really even understand what it means. You know, they don't understand what Semitic means. So there are people who are Jewish people who are Europeans.
Yes.
They're Europeans.
Yes,
there's Ethiopian Jews. There's all kinds of Jewish people from all over. So I put it like this. And here's the next question. I put it like this. If I don't practice Catholicism, can I call myself a Catholic? If I don't practice Christianity, can I call myself a Christian? The people who started Israel were atheists. So if you don't practice Judaism, an ethnicity? You don't practice Judaism, but you say so. Apparently, people like Netanyahu, who, you know, if he practices Judaism, I practice it, and I'm not Jewish. I don't even claim to be. So, you know, to me, what you end up with is this: people using the Jewish religion as a smokescreen, so that they can do their dirty work. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Let me be very quick. The Palestinians, all of them are Semitic people.
Yes.
Jordanians are Semitic people. Iraqis are Semitic people. Iranians are Semitic people. Arabs generally are Semitic people. And on the African continent, my home continent, there are over 300 million Semitic people.
Mm-hmm.
As a linguistic identity, you see. So when one is talking about anti-Semitism, I wonder if they understand who and what Semites are.
Well, you know, I'll say this. That is a word game for this reason. Because when someone says Zionism, which is, you know, which is the philosophy behind Israel, is not Judaism. And let me give an example. Joe Biden says, I am a Zionist. Joe Biden's not Jewish. So Zionism has nothing to do with Judaism. A lot of Christian Zionists in the United States are not, most of them, all of them, let me change this, you are Christian Zionists, are not Jewish. So I can be completely opposed to Zionism with every fiber of my body, and that has nothing to do with the Jewish religion. I know a lot of Jews who are opposed to Zionism.
Right. And one of the misunderstandings, brother, is that when this president of Colombia was in the Congress, somebody picked up Genesis chapter 12, and I'm wondering if she has not studied the Bible at all. If she has, that passage that was picked up by somebody in the Congress were actually people who understood very little about what they are talking about, and even including Paul, too. They were quoting Paul and also Genesis chapter 12. And I have studied both of them, and this sister, the president, was not well informed to even counteract what the confusion is being carried out in the Congress.
Well, I think this. If you are talking about Zionism and the Zionist and the Israel through the lens of religion, you already missed the boat because it ain't got nothing to do with religion.
Right.
This has to do with the United States Empire having a military base, having a military presence in the oil-rich region of the country, of the world.
Yes.
But now, anything to do with religion is a smokescreen they're using to make it harder for people to say, why are you stealing all the oil from the Muslim people? Now, you know what I mean? It's their oil. You're stealing these Muslim people's, you're stealing their natural resources. Why are you doing that? Oh, no, that has this, it has to do with religion. That's a lie.
Somebody of your caliber, have they called you to appear in CNN or C-SPAN?
Not happening.
You have excellent information, and you should actually be going there to let the people know. And let me say one more thing before I go. I listen to both presidential candidates. Donald Trump, that it seems to me as if he's not only historically delinquent, but he seems to be retarded. And I listen to Biden, too. When you listen to Brother Cornel West, he's perhaps the best candidate for this country to be the president. But why don't we actually think about this individual, whether you are in the Republican Party or you are independent or you are in a Democratic Party? Vote for the best candidate.
Well, you know, let me tell you what's happened. People have been brainwashed to the point where they think politics is like a sports team. I'm on the blue team. I'm on the red team. The people on my team are the good guys. The people on the other team are the bad guys. The people are so brainwashed. I'll say to people, I'm not Biden or Trump. You got to be joking if you think I'm voting for one of those. Well, you got to pick one that's brainwashed. You're brainwashed. You know what I say to people? You know what people? Well, you've got to pick the lesser two evils. And this is what I always say. How's that? This is what I always say. Oh, you got to pick the lesser of two evils? Yeah, how's that been working out? Look at where we are now. You're picking the lesser of two evils, and it got us where we are.
Right.
How's that working out?
Right.
I don't care where. If you're walking in the wrong direction, every step you take takes you further from where you want to be.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, man. I certainly appreciate it.
You are a breath of fresh air.
Thank you very much. I mean, you know, and here's what kills me. This is what kills me. I got to be honest. The people that try to scare me with Trump, they try to scare me. Oh, my God, but Trump will win. I'm like, well, first of all, Trump was already president for 4 years and I didn't drop dead. Didn't really seem to affect me that much at all, tell you the truth. You got to understand, Trump works for the ruling elite. Biden works for the ruling elite. If you think one of them worked for you, well, that's how we end up where we are today, because people are convinced that one of these two parties works for them. One of them is better than the other. No, it's a person. If you could only put this guy in or that guy or this woman or that woman, they'd fix it. You know what they call it in sports? The magic coach. That's what they call it. A person who has a terrible organization. Let's say a football organization. It's terrible. Let's say it's the Commanders. For the last 20 years, the organization was horrific. Ever since 91, they brought in coach after coach. And you know what the fans always thought? Oh, we got a new coach. Things are going to turn around. They weren't going to turn around. They have a new ownership now. They have a new group of people running it. They got a chance to be okay. I don't know if they will or won't. But as long as they had the people who they had, they weren't going to be any good because the organization, the system was bad. And the magic new coach, they had some good coaches. The good coaches couldn't fix a bad system. And we have a systemic problem now. And there are people that are scared of Trump. 4 years of Biden, bring in the devil. We got him now. It don't matter. I'm not scared. I'm not voting for one. And when it gets so bad, that you're voting for somebody because you're scared of the other guy, how bad? You know you're in trouble. Hey, can you imagine some guy, a salesperson walking up to you? I think you should buy this particular kind of car I'm selling. Why? It looks like a hunk of junk. Yeah, but if you buy another car, it's even worse. You know what I'd say? I'm not buying either one of them. Why should I buy one knowing that this one? But no, that's not happening. And the only people who are left in that system are the diehard people. The only thing the Democrats and the Republicans really have left is people that are voting off fear. Fear of the other party. Anybody, so many people have gotten beaten down by this system so bad that they're like, the system ain't doing nothing for me. And might I ask, some people just noticed, $95 billion. That's what Congress is in the process of passing. $60 billion for Ukraine. First of all, it ain't going to Ukraine. It's going to Lockheed Martin and whatever, and it'll be laundered into the hands of the billionaires. $26 billion for Israel because, hey, man, it takes a lot of money to slaughter men, women, and children, and they got to commit a genocide. And $8 million for Taiwan. And might I add, why would we be sending money to Taiwan? Taiwan is recognized as the U.S. State Department as a part of China. Why would we be on the border of China harassing, messing with China, giving China a hard time, trying to militarize China just like we militarize Ukraine, just like we militarize. We're militarizing everybody around the world, brainwashing the American people to think that we got 850 bases because we're seeking peace and democracy. To me, how stupid do you have to be to live in a country that has 850 bases and think that country is seeking peace and democracy? You don't need military bases for to be peace and democracy. There was a great, before I go to my next call, I'm going to say this. There was an excellent movie that I like. I like sci-fi called Serenity. And in Serenity, there was this guy that was kind of a rogue. You know, he was a good bad guy, right? And the nation, you know, the empire sent somebody to talk to him. And the guy says, look, I don't want trouble. I'm here to, you know, to work things out diplomatically. I want to talk things out. And the guy looked at him and he says, you're an assassin. If the empire wanted to talk things out, they wouldn't have sent an assassin. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? If the United States wanted to have a peaceful existence and promote democracy, they would not build 850 bases. They build 850 embassies. They would be providing food to the poor. They'd be going to the country saying, how can we help you? But they would start by going to this country saying, how can I help the poor people? They, you know what they've done? They got $60 million that they set aside for that bridge, the key bridge that fell. $60 million. And guess how much they're passing right now for the Ukraine disaster? $60 billion. Exactly 1,000 times more for the war machine than for the people here. And you got people thinking, that's my best option? Hey, you got to pick Biden because Trump something or other. I'm sorry. You got a lot of people like me that's had enough, that's been beaten down so long that you can't scare them anymore with Trump or anybody else. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Ted from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. How you doing?
Great, great. What can I do for you?
Well, I just wanted to point out that I am becoming more aware than even back in the time when we were making our false invasion of another part of Asia, when we when they got rid of certain TV personalities like Phil Donahue.
Yes, the Iraq. Yes.
I'm even more aware of the media now than I was back then, and maybe it always has been this way. But do you notice that the day before yesterday, Google fired 28 people, and instead of focusing on that, they're talking again on the school kids, the university people who were protesting against it. And I still have to ask people to go back to October 13th when Ackerman at Harvard University demanded that they discipline the Harvard Law students, who were mainly black at that time, protesting. And the fact that RFK Jr. Wrote a supporting 8-page letter, which still can be found on the internet if people are still interested and they don't believe me and they think he's such a good person.
Oh, no. I liked him at first. I was going to vote for him. Then when the Gaza thing happened, I'm like, you know what? He's a member of the ruling elite. And the ruling elite know that Israel is a political tool in the Middle East that they use to control the oil and gas. And RFK is part of the ruling elite. And
I don't know if that's true or not, but I do say this. The media is not, for example, Piers Morgan. He has not come up and said, do you condemn the Israeli violence? No, you heard him say that about
Well, Hamas. Every other word out of his mouth is, do you condemn Hamas?
Or anti-terrorist people, Hamas, who I learned after doing my own research that they were actually the counter-terrorists. I learned, but you don't get it from Europe.
Oh, and how about this? How about this?
Nobody condemned
Israel funded them. Israel funded Hamas.
Well,
because you know why they funded them? Israel funded Hamas because they didn't want a two-state solution. Hamas didn't want a two-state solution, so they're like, "Well, we'll fund Hamas because we're you know they're the same play way." Basically, they saw an alignment with them, so they funded Hamas.
Well, I also believe that Hamas is sort of whoever funded them. They actually are the only group that was fighting for the Palestinian people.
Yeah, and, you know, I put it like this: when it comes to Hamas, there are some things about Hamas I really don't like and don't agree with and haven't and don't agree with. That being said, I do understand that anybody, you know, look, you ever heard of Nat Turner? There were black slaves, and at some point there were slave uprisings.
Yes.
And that's the way I see it, like a slave uprising. The people are in a concentration camp, and to me, the inmates in a concentration camp did an uprising. Were there atrocities committed? Yes. Did Nat Turner commit atrocities when there was a slave uprising? Yes, it happened. If you hold people as a slave or in a concentration camp, those kind of things are liable to happen.
And even the only heroic white man during that period, John Brown.
John Brown was a terrorist back then.
Yes. Yep. And they actually did things because they realized they wouldn't get any change otherwise.
Well, you know what happened with John Brown? John Brown worked hard to try to use legislation to change slavery. And, you know, like he was out in Kansas and all, they had something called Bloody Kansas and all that. But at any rate, here's what happened. He worked hard, him and his sons. He was a religious man. He believed in doing right in trying to stop slavery. And he was going to, you know, work in the courts, do everything legal and do everything the right way and peacefully to try to stop slavery, right? The pro-slavery people came in and murdered a bunch of people. They used brute violence. And John Brown came to the conclusion the only way to stop these people is violence. Because if you try to do it the right way, if you try to do it, they'll just come in and kill you. And to some extent, it seems to me that that's what happened in Israel. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. I'm just saying that seems to be the dynamics. That's what happened with John Brown. John Brown tried. He opposed slavery. And at this point, he said, well, geez, we tried to do it the right way, and they just came in and slaughtered and murdered people. And he said, we got to go fight, and the rest is history.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The only other thing I will say right now is occupied people have the right to self-defense, not the occupied.
Yes, under international law.
Yep. So put that in your hat and smoke it or whatever, pipe and smoke it. People who ask me that question, that's what I would have answered.
Well, you know, you got to add something else too before you leave. One more thing. Mm-hmm. Iran, in United States, they brainwash people into thinking Iran is some kind of enemy, right? Here's the problem.
True.
The United in 1952-53, Iran had a duly elected leader by the name of Mohammad Mossadegh. If people don't believe this, go get a book called All the Shah's Men, S-H-A-S, All the Shah's Men, details everything, right?
Yeah.
So this guy had the nerve to say, you know what? We've got all of this oil. The British are pumping it out, the company's BP now. The British are pumping out all of our oil, and we should have that money because it's our oil. So Mohammad Mossadegh said, look, we're going to nationalize the oil. It's our oil, and we're going to keep this. The United States and England overthrew his government so they could steal his oil. The United States then went in and divvied the oil up and said, okay, we get 50%, you get 20%, you get 10%, you get 10%. They basically, like a thug, the United States, like the organized crime, went in, overthrew the government of Iran.
Yeah.
And divvied up their oil between them and their other thug countries. And now, in 1979, the Iranians overthrew the Shah of Iran, this evil dictator that we had put in power. And the United States has the nerve to say that Iran is the bad guys. Not only did Iran have a right, Iran had a duty to overthrow the dictator that the United States put in. And the United States owes them reparations for overthrowing their government and putting in a dictator.
The only people who do the right thing are the Houthis, I think.
Oh, yeah, yes, they are. They're standing up against genocide. All right, thank you. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Billy from Alexandria.
Billy.
Good afternoon. I'm calling talk to you and get your opinion about the national popular vote and to inform, hopefully, some of the listeners that don't know about the movement, to inform them about it.
You inform me because I don't know about it.
Okay. The national popular vote, each state gets to set its rules of how its electors will vote. And the states that pass this movement, the electors pledge to vote for the person who gets the most votes. Mm-hmm. Whoever gets the most votes wins. So far, 18 states have passed this with a total of 209 electors. We only need 61 more electoral votes to get to 270. So every state doesn't have to pass it. You just have to reach that magical number of 270.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, so I just wanted to know why you said you haven't.
Well, I don't think, well, you know, here's the thing, too. Our system is so corrupt that, look, I'm not against it. I'm not opposed to it. But the system is so corrupt. One of the things that they do, my friend, is they steal it before you get to the big, to the main election. If you look at 2016, if you look at 2020, what did they do? Bernie Sanders should have been a nominee in 2016. They stole it from him. So by the time you got to the general election, you had a choice between person A that they wanted that was going to do what they want, or person B that they wanted that would do what they want. As much as they claim to hate Trump, Trump passed some stuff. He gave the biggest tax cuts to the ruling elite in the history of this country. So even though they claim they lost and they hate Trump, they still got their money. So I agree with you. I understand. I think it's a good thing. But I think this system is so corrupt now that it needs change at the most fundamental level, that they're going to put in. They'll be like, yes, it's going to be fair. We got it. You got a choice between, you know, military industrial puppet Stooge A or Stooge B. And we'll make sure that the electors give you either Stooge A or Stooge B. Well, we got to get something other than these stooges. I'm more with the brother called earlier that said we got to look at some third parties in some other directions. Your thoughts, but before you go, what are your thoughts on that little tirade that I put out, that rant?
Amen. I voted for Bernie. I voted for Marianne Williamson in the primary in Virginia, so I'm voting third party. I'm voting for Stein or someone else.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm voting third party. I can't vote for. When people say, you know what, we need a third party, you know what I say? I'd be happy with a second right now.
I hear you loud and clear.
Thank you very much. All right. 202-588-0893. We got open lines all day today. You are in charge. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Tabu, and I'm calling from the District of Columbia.
My man, Tabu. What's happening, brother?
You. And you know I have two questions for you.
Uh-oh, I got two answers for you then.
I know you do. You just said the system is corrupt.
Yes.
And it needs changes.
Yes. Fundamental changes.
Yes. So then, may I ask that question in other words? Do you feel that the system needs repairing?
No. I think it needs revolutionary change. I don't even think it needs to be reformed. You know, that's the thing. Can you fix it? Can you reform it? I think it needs revolutionary, fundamental change. This system as it is can't work. No, let me change it. It works very well. It extracts money from the working class, the poor, and the poor, and puts them in the hands of the richest people in this country. That's what that system, right. I don't think you can repair that. I think it's about to crash is what it's going to do. It's going to crash on its own.
Is it operating the way, does our government operate the way the founding principles stated it would?
You know, what? Sadly enough, when they came out and they said that only white male landowners could vote, you could make an argument that it does operate the way they
wanted
it to.
Well, hold tight. Now, that's later on.
But there's some other things that I would agree with you that are all messed up. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Now, let's go back. Let's look back. See, the country was founded on natural law. Then later on, it is positive law. These laws that you just mentioned, how they made illegitimate laws. Laws have to be based on certain principles.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the basic founding principle of this country was liberty. Now, slavery is just the opposite. It's repugnant to liberty. Therefore, when they passed a law saying that slavery was legal, It's repugnant. Therefore, it is not legal. It's not legitimate. It's a bad law. So let's go back and repair the country. And that's the process of repairing is reparation. Reparation is not just monetary cash alone. We're talking about, first of all, we need to repair the system. We are born free. This country started with the principles that we're born free and government is to protect our basic rights, life and liberty. Okay?
Well, okay, go ahead. I'll listen to you. I can push back against that, but go ahead. I'm all ears, brother.
No, am I wrong there?
I think that the government's job is to, let me make it quick. I'll give you a 30-second version. You have the masses and the working class, and you have the ruling elite. And the ruling elite always have different priorities than the masses. And you're going to have friction between the masses and the working class and the ruling elite. The government's job is to go between the ruling elite and the masses and to deal with those frictions and iron them out on behalf of the ruling elite. The government's job is to convince the masses and the working class that they're working for them, that they're looking out for them, when really they're looking out for the ruling elite. Okay, go ahead.
Are you saying that's what the Constitution says?
Nope.
Right,
I'm saying that's what the government does.
How then are we the country supposed to run? Is the government supposed to be the manner in which we are to govern ourselves?
In theory, yes.
Okay, then let's repair it. That's your guide. That's where it is. That's the principles. Reparation is being done, has been paid, so it is in the process. It is a working thing in the process. You can go back, walk over your bank gate, $11 million, how many years ago, on and on and on. So it's a process. So as you say, some people are brainwashed. To me, that means you take one mindset and you put it in with something else.
Let me say this. To me, when I say brainwashed, what I mean is this. People are convinced of things that oftentimes aren't true and even more often are not in their best interest. So somebody brainwashes you to believe something that's not in your best interest. Somebody convinces you of things. And here's how you know, to me, people are brainwashed. When people make statements and they believe things and they think they came up with the idea. They're like, I came up with that idea, but they didn't. When they got you to a point where you're spouting the sound bites and the words of the system, that you're saying things that are not in your best interest and you think you came up with that idea, that, my friend, is what I mean when I say brainwashed.
I got you. And I know my time is short. Could I say this?
Sure.
A new movement, Make America as Perceived, MAP, MAAP. Let's make it as perceived. Now, Abraham Lincoln talked about in the Gettysburg Address how this country was conceived in liberty. Now, key to all this is liberty, because we have to have some determining, some value to determine right and wrong.
Well, you know what? I would advise you, and get ready to jump to other calls, but I would advise you to read a great book. And it's by Paul Robeson Jr., and it's called A Black Way of Seeing, From Liberty to Freedom. It's about Paul Robeson Jr., A Black Way of Seeing, From Liberty to Freedom. He talks about those concepts, the concept of liberty and freedom, particularly through the context of how black people experience America. And he talks about how the black people's experience of America is different. I would say this, the Native Americans' experience of America is different. You know what I mean? People's experience of America is different. And that's a great book. All right, well, thanks very much.
Look, let me close on this.
All right, close on something, brother.
Calvin Rolock said, what did he say? And I want you to do this for everybody. Look in the mirror, and what did he say? If it's to be, it's up to me. Have a good day.
Thank you. Taboo. All right, next, 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is G3 calling from Washington, D.C.
G3, what's up, bro?
Hey, Ray, everything's everything. You know what? Bottom line is, the same system is the parties are on the system.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam veteran, first of all. I left there in 1967 when he had a draft. I was in Vietnam 366 days in combat. When I looked at this system from another point of view from that side, it's the same, doing the same thing. They, two parties, you got the Republicans, Democrats, they put, well, vote for this one, vote for that one. Those are two evils. You're doing the same thing. Hey, about the same thing. You cannot change the color on. You can paint a zebra if you want to, but the stripes are still there. His natural stripes are still there. You can paint him all black, all white, but he's still black and white the way he was created, a zebra. Same way, it's the same system. So you got Trump or Biden or whoever. You know what? When people say, you got to vote, you got to vote. But if they put the same person in a Democratic position that has the same mindset as a Republican, you're voting for the same party. You might as well be a Republican.
You're right.
I don't even feel like even voting. But anyway,
you think about this. They're coming together. The two parties are coming together for $65 billion. Excuse me, $95 billion. Can you imagine what you could... Do you know you could end homelessness in America for less than $20 billion? So the good news is they found the money to end homelessness four times over, and they gave it all to the military-industrial complex. It's 95. Can you imagine what you could do in America with $95 billion? But we ain't going to get it because they don't work for us. But they got us brainwashed into thinking. I mean, to me, how can you look at what they're doing without being brainwashed and say, 95? And can I tell you this? They already gave $140 billion to Ukraine. And guess what? And Ukraine's going to lose the war anyway. Ukraine was never going to beat Russia. How in the world does anybody think Russia is 26 and a half times the size of Ukraine? It is a superpower. Russia is the country that defeated Napoleon, that defeated the Nazis. And you think Ukraine's going to defeat them? It is preposterous. But what's going to happen is this. Another $100 billion is going to go. They spent $1.7 trillion 20 years in Afghanistan. It was a scam. They got a new scam in Ukraine, brother, and they're going to get every dime. They're getting another $95 billion, and the suckers are going to be arguing over Trump while they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Exactly. You know, that's sad. And the people of the country, of this country, and you sit back and you're going to be, as you said, laughing to the bank all the way, and you're still going through the same thing.
Yes, sir. It's a sad state of affairs. You get the last word, brother.
You know what? Good. Keep preaching the way you do, brother, because you're right on point with it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Everybody contribute to PFW. That's our station, please. Everyone that's listening, please keep it up and get some of your friends and other people. We need more people. This is our station. When you're looking for a new home, get what you can.
Thank you very much. And you can go to WPFWFM.org, everybody. You can go to WPFWFM.org. There's a donate button. Anytime you think about it, even if it's a little bit, go to WPFWFM.org and donate. All right, next call, you're on air. 202-588-0893. We've got time for a few more calls. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Joe from Bowie. Hola.
Hey, amigo. What's up?
I'm thinking about the Janet Yellen going to China and... They're buying more, want China to buy more bonds. I'm understanding that China holds quite a bit of the American debt. So, and then the other day they talk about Costco selling gold bars. So what's the relationship here?
Thank you. You know, look, the United States, here's what's happening. China's economy is working quite well, and China's doing well, and the United States ain't. Our economy's, you know, first of all, we're $33 trillion in debt, and China is not in debt. They have a surplus of trillions and trillions of dollars. They got money in the bank. We're in debt. And Janet Yellen goes to China trying to tell China how to do their economy. It's a sad state of affairs. The United States has a problem with China. And here's the problem they got with China. Their economy works, and China's getting more powerful. And the United States wants to run the world. And so, therefore, the United States is trying to go start a war with China, war with Russia, war with Iran, war with everybody. That's what we got 850 bases for, so we can go around the world and start wars, and that's all we do. Oh, by the way, we must brainwash the American people. We must tell them that Iran is their enemy, Saddam Hussein's their enemy, Russia's their enemy, China's their, everybody's their enemy. My enemies are right around the corner from where I'm sitting on Capitol Hill. My enemies are on Wall Street. My enemies are not. My enemies are the military-industrial complex. My enemies ain't on the other side of the world. My enemies are right here. They're the ones that are robbing us blind so we can't have anything. We don't even have half heat. And we got teachers on strike. Striking in America because the heat and air conditioner don't work in the schools for our children, but we got $95 billion more for war, and I'm supposed to get mad at somebody who's 7,000 miles away. You got to be kidding me. Go ahead.
Oh, we lost that brother. You know that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I guess I got look, you know, y'all know, listen to the show. I get freaked out, man. I get freaked out here. I get just upset. I get the rant and I start losing it. But it's not. It's because it frustrates me. I get frustrated. And this is my hour to get the frustration out. All right. Next call, you on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, is this Garland?
This is me. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Peter. I'm calling from upstate New York. I keep on suspecting that the ugly truth of the situation in Gaza is that the Israelis have been using depleted uranium explosives. Is that what you...
The only reason I think believe? They probably aren't doing it is because they want to steal the land afterwards and they don't want it there.
Yeah.
They want to blow everything up and then they want to go in and build their settlements and build everything, so they're not going to do that because they don't want to leave the there because they want to kill the... Let's not forget, it's a lot of gas over there in Gaza. They want to go over there, they want to take the property, they want to take the natural resources, and they're going to try... Look, this is what they did here to the Native Americans. You kill all the people, you take their resources.
Yeah. Right. Well, I suppose that the president continues to allow Israel to do what it seems to be intent on doing, namely wiping out the Palestinian culture in Palestine, is because they believe that the settler colonial project will succeed in the end.
Let me ask you
with
this.
Enough American weaponry.
Let me ask you this. When you say the president allows Israel to do it, right? Well,
yeah.
If he's providing the weapons, he's providing the money. He's providing the soldiers there. When Iran fired some stuff at him, the U.S. did all the defense of Israel. Everything there. Yeah. Israel's economy is collapsed. The U.S. has given them all the money. Is it that the U.S. is allowing Israel to do it? Or is it that they are co-conspirators in an international crime? You know what I mean? If I give you the money, if I give you the knife, if I tell you there goes Garland and you go over there and stab him, when you go to court, they're going to charge both of us with murder, aren't they? So to me, it's not that the U.S. is allowing Israel to do it. It's that they're working with Israel to that. Israel is a part of. It's like me saying I stabbed you and said, you know, I allowed my hand to stab you. The hand is part of my body.
Right, right.
What do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, things can be a little bit challenging to sort out in this news environment that we're in now. You know, about the Smith-Mundt Act, which was originally passed in 1947-48. That made it illegal for American news media to propagandize.
Right. The intelligence community was not allowed to do propaganda on Americans. And Barack Obama did away with that. And that's why when you turn on... You know what kills me?
2014.
When people turn on the news and the news says, coming up next, we've got it. Former CIA agent, blah, 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 blah,
no
blah.
Propaganda.
And people think they're getting the news.
It's really so depressing to listen to. It's so boring.
And retired General so-and-so next. And people think they're getting the news.
Suck it up, you know?
But guess what? But when I tell them you're being had, you know what they say to me? Oh, what's Garland talking about? He's a crazy person. He doesn't understand. I'm saying you're being lied to, you're being had, you're being propagandized. They get mad at me, but they turn on the news and there's a retired NSA, CIA, supposedly retired, and I'm wrong for saying you're being schnookered. You're being lied to, had, and bamboozled.
Absolutely. Well, how can the Palestinians win in the end?
I'll put it like this. Israel's already lost. Israel can't win this one. Israel has lost this. They have lost. I'll put it like this. The U.S. has two wars in Ukraine. They have lost. The war in Ukraine is lost, and the war in Palestine is lost. They can't possibly win. But anyway, I got to get ready.
They're still killing the Palestinians.
Yeah, well, that's the terrible thing about it. It is horrific what they're doing. It is horrific. Yeah. And they're going to keep killing people, but they're not going to win the war. They killed 2.5 million people in Vietnam. They lost the war. They're losing this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But it's a horrible thing, and we have to continue to oppose the brutality. All right. Last but not least, I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job, as always.
If you want to get in touch with me, I got a YouTube show. You can watch me on that. You can email me. I give out my actual email address. It's easy. My first name is Garland, G-A-R-L-A-N-D, like Judy Garland, right? My last name is Nixon. So just the N, my first name and the first letter of my last name, Garland N. At gmail.com. Feel free. You know, people email me and I email them back and they say, well, I'm surprised you emailed me. I'm like, I'm just another fool. I ain't nobody special. You emailed me. I return the email. GarlandN@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. Follow me there. Garland Nixon. Ain't a whole lot of Garland Nixons out there. Trust me. N-I-X-O-N, like President Nixon. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Telegram. Thank you very much. And if you know anything about me, you know I love my house music, right? This is one of the classics that I love. How Do I Let Go? Peace. I'm out.
You got me.
I'm not ready. It's not my time.
I'm not.